Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner in PricewaterhouseCoopers. This morning's conversation is with Rear Admiral Patrick Stillman, Program Executive Officer of the U.S. Coast Guard's Deepwater Program. Joining us in our conversation is another PwC partner, Dave Abel.
Pat, let's take a look at Deepwater in a little bit more depth. First of all, how was the program initiated? When did it start?
Well, it started back in actually early 1998. When three industry teams were empowered to define what system best serves the needs of the Coast Guard over the course of the next 30 to 40 years. And they were given an opportunity to do so. A restrictive document was issued as far as competition, and those three teams were empowered to attend to this with the Coast Guard. And for the past 3 years, they have been working with the Coast Guard in terms of offering a system of systems approach that best serves the maritime needs of the nation. And as I said earlier, that system is very robust in terms of its definition, its ships, its aircraft, its C4ISR, that command control communications complement, as well as the logistics package that that attends to that. It is a very ambitious undertaking, to say the least.
Is it possible to boil down the specific problem or concern that motivated the initiation of Deepwater? I mean, what's the driving thing within the Coast Guard that needs to be addressed by Deepwater?
Sure. I think, generally speaking, the ships and the assets that we operate are getting old and long in the tooth. And quite frankly, they're highly manpower intensive, and by that I mean, you know, old ships require a lot of people to operate, and that's not necessarily cost effective. The average age of the cutters that we hope to replace is 28 years. That's fairly long in the tooth in sailors' terms. In addition, if you do a comparison of naval services today, the Coast Guard is 37th of 39th in terms of age of its inventory. So it's time, and it's time because we're seeing problems tied to our operations, safety issues that truly have to be corrected. When systems begin to fail and put your people in jeopardy, you have no choice. It's time to reinvest, and we've begun to see that. So we've taken, I think, a very innovative tact in terms of finding the right solution to attend to this replacement program. And that's what the Deepwater program is all about.
The General Accounting Office and others have described the acquisition strategy as one of the most innovative and aggressive ways to acquire new equipment over the long term. Could you explain to our listeners why this program is so innovative?
I'd be happy to. I think the best way to describe it is that it's a performance-based acquisition. And by that I mean industry was not provided the requirement to replace this particular ship with a replacement ship, and this particular aircraft with a like aircraft or one that's similar. Quite the contrary. Because the Coast Guard has been very devoted to outcome-based performance, because quite frankly we took the Government Performance and Results Act back in the early 90s and embraced it. And truly found that strategic plans, business plans, and performance goals help people in terms of serving the public, we were able to integrate performance specifications into this acquisition. What we did was we gave industry 66 specifications of performance for this system and said, design the most cost-effective and operationally effective mixture of assets that truly will serve the American public's needs in the maritime environment over the course of the next 30 years. That is innovative. And I think that the President's management plan has the right answer in terms of truly focusing on the need to link budgets with performance. Well, quite frankly, that's what this acquisition does. It is performance-based. And because of that, it is certainly considered innovative, and I think potentially a benchmark for other people to look to.
Well, one of the other things that's truly unique about this program is that it essentially asks the prime contractor to do all the work. What types of oversight are you planning to use to ensure accountability for the results?
Well, let me just recast your question.
Sure.
A bit. I don't think there's any question that fundamental to the acquisition strategy is a prime integrator. And that prime will be given a 5-year award term contract to basically become a partner with the Coast Guard, if you will, in terms of beginning to build out this system. Now, I should qualify and state that, you know, we're realists about this. We are hoping to get $300 million in fiscal year 02. We are hoping to get $500 million in $98 every year thereafter until this system is built out. That's realistic because Function 400, where the Coast Guard is funded, is a, well, I would describe it as a tough neighborhood, if you will. When you're competing and working with FAA and the other modes in transportation, particularly in light of the mandates post 9/11, let's be realistic here. You know, we cannot recapitalize the Coast Guard immediately with a major amount of money. It has to be sequenced over time, and we designed the acquisition strategy accordingly. But that said, we will have a partnership with a prime integrator, and that prime integrator will be held accountable for performance as well as the total ownership cost of the system. What we did is we tried to simplify the issue in some respects as far as the pillars of the acquisition. We told the industry teams to design the most effective system based on our performance goals. But we also told them, we've passed the CFO audit. We know where we're spending our money. You have $996 million to start with in designing on an annual basis to cover the operational expenses tied to this system. That's what the Coast Guard spends today in terms of attending to the operational requirements of all these missions in the offshore arena. So the prime is afforded the opportunity to work with those pillars, if you will, control and attend to total ownership costs while at the same time advancing the operational effectiveness of the Coast Guard. And so that will be a partnership. Honestly, it's got to be what I would call a contract, not management by contract solely, but management by, honestly, relationship and partnership. And because we're using performance-based requirements, I think the objective realities can work in our favor in that regard.
So the performance of the prime contractor will be similar to the performance measurements that you're going to measure yourself against?
Well, what we've done is we've incentivized the prime. And in that respect, we've developed shared in savings programs with respect to the request for proposals, and the award term will basically have an award fee concept that that frankly incentivizes the prime's ability to reduce or control total ownership costs. They will make a profit, but depending on how much they're able to make inroads in that regard. And by the same token, in terms of measuring our operational effectiveness, they'll be afforded the opportunity to encourage and experience incentives in that regard as well. So it's an innovative approach in that respect, but quite frankly, I think it's the right way to do business, because what transpires is your cultures merge. The culture of the Coast Guard and the culture of the prime are going to merge together, and we will be able to leverage the best practices of the private sector and obviously their agility to enhance our ability to do business.
Has it been difficult to be able to drive a culture of innovation within the Coast Guard as well as within the prime contractor?
I would say that the honest answer to that question is yes, and that as the program executive officer, my responsibilities for partnership extend as much internally as externally. And by that I mean, you know, we will have to, in many respects, re-engineer the way we do business. And that is not always embraced with expediency. We, like any large organization, have habits, and some of those habits are good. I would like to think most of them are, but unquestionably, you know, when you begin to step back and say, gee, should I contract out this logistics support requirement, or do I do it in-house? When you begin to ask those kinds of questions, you've got to make some hard decisions, and those decisions are not always easily arrived at. So, yeah, the culture of the Coast Guard will be molded to a certain extent, just as I hope the culture of government will be molded to a certain extent, in that I'm convinced that this is the right way to do business long term.
Tell us about some of the other lessons learned from the Deepwater acquisition.
I think that there's the need to reconcile the fact, as I stated earlier, that if you want to embrace performance-based acquisition strategies, you've got to reconcile the fact that the simpler in many respects is better. that what you don't want is an RFP of 2,000 or 3,000 pages that is the epitome of management by contract. What you need is the ability to promote trust, communication, and partnership such that your private sector partner can truly embrace his or her responsibilities with objective reality. The results have to be measurable, they have to be shared, and they can't be clouded. And that's where I think the lessons for me have come. You know, you really have to embrace the fact that much of leadership is the art of simplification. But when you work with the best in the private sector to truly improve the way the Coast Guard does business, it's an empowering opportunity and one that I think is working.
Well, that's a good stopping point. Come back with us as we continue our conversation with Rear Admiral Patrick Stillman of the U.S. Coast Guard. We'll ask him how they manage contractors, other organizations, and the diverse stakeholder group. Rejoin us as the Business of Government Hour continues.